Glad that you are here today, and thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us today. I want to welcome all of our guests today. I know we have several Arkansas Tech students and student athletes. Thank you so much for being here. Let me mention this on the front end. I think we have a QR code we're going to put on the screen, and if you would like, we would love to connect with you. For our Tech students, just a way for us to connect, know you're here worshiping with us, and just so grateful and thankful that you've chosen to be here. And so if you want to use that, that'll be great. Also, for any of our guests that maybe aren't Tech students this morning, we too want to say thank you so much for being here. We're grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today, whether in person or maybe you've joined us online. And so I want to make you aware of a few ways that we can connect with you. There should be a card in the pew back in front of you if you'd fill that information out, and you can leave it in the pew or leave it in the offering plate as we leave today. Or if you've joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. And again, it's a way for us to connect and know that we want to serve you. One of the things we like to say and talk about around here is that we want to be your second family. And so whether you are a Tech student or just an individual in the community looking for a church family, we would love to connect with you and hopefully help you find a church home here. And so again, thank you so much for being here. If you picked up a bulletin on the way in, there's several items there that I want you to be aware of, especially for our church family. There's some things happening this evening as we have our business meeting, we have a time of prayer, and then we also have an ice cream fellowship after that. And so if you want to bring some ice cream, we're going to have some ice cream here, but you might be particular to your own flavor. So bring that tonight. We'll have a fun time tonight. Tomorrow we have our the Tech Involvement Fair. Many of you have donated to help with that. We're continuing to take up gift cards. And so if you want to help with that as we look to connect with Tech students, if you are a Tech student, I hope you'll make plans to swing by the booth there in Tucker and just say hi, and grateful that you're here and come be a part of that. This Wednesday, all of our student activities resume, and so our kids ministry is kicking back off, and our student ministry, so all of our ministries up till 12th grade. We have a free meal at 5:30, and then 6 to 7 is when those student and young kid activities take place. But then for our college service and our college students, we have a meal at 7:15 and then worship from 8 to 9. And so all of that resumes this Wednesday night. So love to have you be a part of that. And then I know there's a lot going on, a lot of announcements this morning. Many of you know by now, but last Sunday, Pastor Jonathan announced his resignation from Second Baptist, and he has accepted the opportunity to go and lead First Baptist Knoxville as their lead pastor. And so next Sunday will be his last Sunday with us. And so in traditional Baptist form, we're going to eat again, all right? So next Sunday is potluck, and so, hey, students, it's another chance for a free meal. It's all I'm saying, right? So I know the college life. But next Sunday, Pastor Jonathan will preach, and then we will follow that up with a meal together, and so that will be potluck style, so bring your favorite dish, come, and let's say thanks to the Lord for Pastor Jonathan, his wife Michelle, and family, as we send them out to serve in another place in our community. And so, all right, there's a lot of information there. Revival is coming up, and there's some notes in there. Let me just say this. We sort of have some theme nights for our revival services. It doesn't mean it's limited for those folks only. It's for everybody. And so, but we'd love for you to be able to come be a part of that. All right, there's a lot there. There's more there that I did not cover. And so I hope you will take note of those things and come be a part of them. This morning, as we've walked through our 40 days of prayer, the emphasis and focus has been Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. We're part of our focus today. And it says this, it says, the eyes of your standing, of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And the prayer focus was this, is that we might experience the power of God. And so that's what I want to take a moment and focus our time of prayer as we begin our service today, is that we might experience the power of God today. And so if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, and let's just take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. And you can pray right where you're at. If you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray, you're certainly welcome to do that. But we're praying that the power of God might be upon us today. Lord Jesus, we love and adore you. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you're worthy of all our praise and adoration today. And Lord Jesus, we come to you and I pray, God, that your power would be upon this place. God, upon these peoples, we gather together as we worship you, that you, Holy Spirit of God, would fall on this place. And then God, every one of us as we walked in and when we leave today, we would not be the same because we've met with the one true God. And so Lord, you be here, you work. God, I pray that in everything you would be glorified. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, "We Praise You"? Just about every Sunday morning, we sing those faster songs to get us woken up, right? Are you awake now? You ready to sing some songs now? You know, as we think about our God and praising our God, we think about what He did on the cross for our sins. We think about how He rose again, triumphing over death and sin, so that He could turn our grave into a garden. Because truly, as the Scripture tells us, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. But thanks be to God, who is rich in His mercy. He made us alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing with us, "Graves into Gardens."
search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Mountains of grace and treasures of faith are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better.
Nothing better than our God, our Yahweh God, the creator of all things. And here's the reality. He created you and me. But he didn't create us to walk as dead people, as I referenced earlier. He created us to truly live and to have our being in him. The scripture tells us that we live and we move and we have our being in God. But you see, sin comes in and it takes over our lives. And it makes us into something we weren't intended to be. But God made us for more. He made us to live, to walk with him, just like Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when they were in the garden, right? If you look at Scripture, what a wonderful picture that is of what God wants to do with you and I. So let this be a testimony, this song, of what you were made to be, what you were intended to be. You weren't intended to tend a grave, like the song says. You were made for more.
I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven, and I have a future, and it's worth living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are.
Running my way, I know I.
got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for my King, except for a heart.
Well, amen. Well, again, thank you for being here. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is this little book right at the end of the New Testament, just before, right at the end of the Old Testament, just before the New Testament, and right before the book of Matthew. And so, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I know we have a lot of guests today, and so we are getting ready for what we call revival, which is essentially a series of meetings. In a couple weeks, we're going to have where we have church service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, and just praying that God will renew us, refresh us, revive us, if you will. And the way we've been approaching and thinking and talking about this, I know this seems strange to have a stack of wood on stage, but it's sort of been our focus, our theme leading up to those series of events. And so the thing being stack the wood, and this is the concept or the idea, is if you grew up in the country, you know this well, if you had a fireplace or a way to burn wood in your house to help keep it warm, then oftentimes in the spring and summer was the time to gather wood. You did not wait to get wood until it was winter, because you go and cut a tree in the middle of winter, it's still green, it doesn't burn very well. Not to mention, when you get to the point, if you've not done any gathering of the wood beforehand, when you get to the point of trying to go gather wood and you need wood, you don't want to go then, because it's usually cold. And so the idea is that you stack the wood in preparation for the wood burning that's going to take place during the cold months. And so in that sense, then, we are praying for God to do a special work here at our church and our community. And leading up these several weeks, we've been having a 40-day prayer emphasis and prayer meetings on Sunday nights. And then focuses of our message have been in large part toward getting us ready for, praying for God to do a special work in and amongst our church. And so we've called it Stack the Wood. And do what we can, because we can't create this. We can't create this move of God. We can't force God to do something special. And we can't conjure up some emotion or some feeling. But we can do all that we can to stack the wood to get ready for God to do a great work and a great move of God. And so that's why this is here, just as a visual reminder for our church. But then also in reference to keep it before us and pray that God would do what only He can. Well, this morning we are continuing just praying about what God would have me to share, and I thought I was going a different direction, but He directed me to preach from this few verses here this morning from the book of Malachi, and focus on He never changes. God never changes. We're going to see this in the text in a moment. It's interesting with the children of Israel at this point and what's happening, because actually the book of Malachi happens during the days of Nehemiah. You may remember the book of Nehemiah, and God raises up. So the children of Israel have been gone into exile. They have gone into captivity. People have come in, taken them, and taken most of them out of their land because they had disobeyed God. So God allowed this to take place. Then God raises up Nehemiah to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and rebuild the wall around it. He also raised up Ezra to rebuild the temple. And so there's sort of this massive restoration project that's taking place. Okay, so think about that. God is restoring Jerusalem and the people of God. And now they're coming back. And so they've been there for a little while. And seemingly they are on the outskirts. As you look in, if you get a peek into what's taking place, they're getting some things back right. They're doing some good things. They're following the law in to some degree. But as we begin to dig deeper, and we learn this through the book of Malachi, that really what they're doing is just lip service. What they're doing, they're just sort of going through the motions. They're not really worshiping God. They're not really serving the Lord Jesus or serving the one true God. And so then we get this book of Malachi, and Malachi, man, he does not hold back, and he, through the power of the Spirit, man, there's this prophetic, strong word that's given to them, and there's just this confrontation after confrontation saying, you're doing this, but you're really not. And so then we get to Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read in verses 6 and 7 in just a moment, and so there's this another confrontation of sorts that you'll we'll see and read about this morning. And so I know I apologize, some of you just sat down, but one of the things we like to do here, because we believe the Word of God is different than any other book on the face of the planet, there's something different about the Scripture, is that before we start the message, we like to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. So I'm going to ask if you will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. And the Word of God says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. God, thank you for today. Thank you for each man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I pray you would speak to them and use this message to challenge them, to encourage them, to equip them. Lord, I pray your hand of blessing will be upon us. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray you, Spirit of God, would be here, that we would experience the power of God this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the title of the message is this, is that He never changes. He never changes, talking about God. Now, change is one of those ugly words in our vocabulary most often, because most people, if not all people, don't like change. Now, some deal with it or handle it better than others. There are some that absolutely despise any change, and it's really difficult for them to handle any changes. And then there are others who maybe handle it a little bit better than others. But for the most part, most of us do not like change. And we live in a culture and a world that is ever changing. You're in a season, most likely, of where there is change in your life. As a church, we're in a season of change. We are in a season of transition. You heard me talk about Pastor Jonathan and his transition. There's other transitions and changes and things going on. We're transitioning from our summertime schedule and activities to our fall time activities, those things. So as a church, we're in a season of change. A lot of you students here, you're in a season of change. Some of you have been here for a little bit. Some of you maybe just moved in yesterday, and I'm sorry to say, if the Lord doesn't return, but classes will start on Monday, right? So there's a season of change. You're in a season of experiencing change. It may be that in your relationship or your marriage, maybe as a parent, you're in a season of change. I know right now there's a lot of parents that are that way because no longer, maybe they're empty nesters, or maybe the first one moving out of the home, going to college, all of those things. Oftentimes in life, we are in seasons of change. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about this message that Malachi gives the children of Israel about the one who never changes. And so if you're taking notes or following along, if not, it's okay. There be these statements and scripture both on the screen. The main idea of the text is this, is God is the one constant in a world that is always changing. I don't remember who said it, but somebody once said that the only thing that's ever constant or only thing that's ever sure is change itself. But that's not entirely true, because there is one true constant, and that's the Lord Himself. So the question of the text is this: are you looking to trust the one who never changes? See, if we're constantly in a world of change and we're in a state of change and going through all these different seasons, then we need something that is constant and steadfast and sure. And now a lot of times that can be a spouse, or that can be a parent or a sibling or a grandparent, something constant and consistent that feels familiar and like home. But if we're honest, that even that itself is not always sure and steadfast. But I'm here to talk to you about the God who is, that He never changes. So I want us to see three truths from the text this morning. Number one, God never changes. God never changes. Let's look at verse 6 here. You hear in the text, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. You, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." See, the children of Israel, I mentioned, they've not been living the way that God had designed for them to. And even though they had been in captivity, they had been in slavery, God is allowing them to return. And they have come to the city of God, this Jerusalem, and there's a lot of restoration. There's a lot of things that are happening where they're going through the motions, but God is confronting them that they are not really following Him. But here He declares to them this powerful statement, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." But I want you to see, let's not skip to the "I do not change," but I want you to catch the first phrase, that "For I am the Lord." And we're going to talk about a season of change. We're in a season of change in the political state of our country. I'm not here this morning to make any political statements. So just take a big deep breath, right? Other than this reality, that in a time where there's a lot of unrest and there's a lot of uncertainty about the future of our country and the future of bills and policies and all those things, and can I just remind you this morning that although in our country there may be an election in November, there is one that is in charge. There is one who is supreme. There is one who sits on the throne in which there is never an election. There is a God in heaven. And He doesn't represent any political party. He doesn't represent any particular group of folks per se, but rather He is the God of all creation. And I need you to see this morning this declaration that He says, "For I am the Lord." That word "Lord" means boss, master. There is one on the throne this morning. It is not in contention. It is not up for debate. It doesn't matter what state goes this way or what state goes that way. Let me just remind you this morning also, it doesn't matter what country votes this way or what country votes that way, that the Lord Jesus, He is the Lord this morning. He always has been and He always will be. There is one who sits on the throne in heaven, and He is the Lord. And so we must be reminded this morning that in a season of change, there is one that sits high and lifted up, and there is no contest for His throne. There is no debate about who is supreme. And let me just mention this to you. To be honest with you, it doesn't even matter what you and I believe about that. Because my belief about who He is, or what He's done, or where He reigns, does not change the reality of this statement that He says, "For I am the Lord." See, God is bigger. God is supreme. And my belief or my convictions about that does not change who He really is. We're reminded through this throughout Scripture, Deuteronomy 10, 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." He does not show favoritism, and He can't be bought. Psalm 102, verse 27, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." See, His reign does not have a beginning date and an end date. He's just the dash. There's no established. There's no death date. It is His reign. Revelation 19, verse 16 says, "He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I just needed to mention to you this morning, as you've come and you're in a season of change and going through a lot of things possibly, or maybe there's a season of change coming, I just need to remind you that God is supreme and He is on His throne. And whatever season you're going through, when you get through the end of it, He'll be on His throne. Whatever season you're coming up to, when you get to it, God is on His throne. And in 1,000 years from now, God will still be on His throne. And so, in a world of change, God never changes. Number two truth I want you to hear this morning: God's character never changes. The character of God, the person of God, never changes. This is what He declares. Verse 6, for I am the Lord. That's the position. That's the command, the position of command. But now notice this character, I do not change. So in a season of unrest and a position of going, man, what are we going to do? How do we face this? We've got to be reminded that God is on the throne and that position is never changing. But not only is His position never changing, but the person never changes. His character never changes. So we got to see and understand and realize that God always has been and God always will be. Even in studying for this, man, the Lord just stirred in my heart this idea that because God created time and space and God created all things. And in Genesis 1, we see this story of creation where God created everything and He saw that it was good. But if God created time, okay, hold on with me, all right? If God created time, then God stands outside of time. He is not bound by time nor space. See, we believe that God is all powerful, He is all knowing, and He is ever present. Meaning there has never been a time in which God did not exist. But if there's a time in which God never existed, He stands outside of time. So God sees the day that Adam and Eve were created and the day that you were born and today and the day of your death and the day of your children's grandchildren's death. He sees all of that exactly at one time because God stands outside of time. But at the same time, God is all powerful. And because of that, because for there to be a season of change, there's got to be a period of time. But because God stands outside of time, He is not subject to time, so He never changes. God is the exact same person that He was when He created Adam and Eve as He is today. And He's the same today that He'll be in a million years from now. And see, there's never been any other constant like that in your life. As fantastic as maybe your parents were, as wonderful as maybe your home life was, or your city that you grew up in, or whatever it is, there is one constant, and that is that God sits on its throne and He's never changed. We use this word that it's immutable. There's no influence that can happen upon God that would cause Him to change. Well, some of you have had deep relationships. Maybe you had close friendships growing up in junior high and high school. And you move off to college and you think, man, in a relationship, that closeness will never change. But then you find yourself years later going back and yeah, there's a lot of familiarity, there's a lot of closeness, but you realize change has happened because it's inevitable. It's part of life. It's what we go through. But friend, let me encourage you this morning that the character and person of God has never changed. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. As He has said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? So here's the reality. If His character is good, if His character never changes, then the promises that He makes, He can never fail to fulfill those. Because the only reason that somebody fails to fulfill a promise is one of two things. Either they change their mind or the circumstances changes in such a way that's beyond their control. Well, those two things are impossible for God. God cannot cease to be who He is. His character never changes and the circumstances never change in such a way that's beyond His control. And so He says, for I am the Lord, and I will not change. Hebrews 6:17-18. Thus, God determining to show Himself, show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise of His immutability of His counsel, means it can't be changed, confirmed it by an oath. So He promises that His counsel, His direction, His giving of wisdom will never not be true. And He gives an oath to that. But notice what He says, that by two immutable things, two things that cannot change and cannot be wrong, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So what's the two immutable things? First of all, God promised that His word would be true. What's the second one? God promised, the person of God. So here's the reality is that, and it goes on to make an argument going, well, why would God promise by himself? Because there's nothing else that is forever true than God himself. And so God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so I want you to see this morning as he's declaring to the children of Israel, saying, hey, you have returned back, you are going through the city, you're rebuilding this, and you're going through the motions. I need you to see and understand that I am the Lord, and I have not changed. But notice this. Verse 6, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. What's he saying? He's saying, I have not changed, but you have. But because I have not changed, I am merciful and gracious and compassionate, and I haven't just wiped you off the face of the earth. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from me, from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? So the third truth I want you to see this morning, God calls us to change. The God who never changes calls us to change. Well, I don't like change. Me either. But he didn't call me to do what I want to do. He's calling me to do what is best for me because he knows what is best for me. And so here's the picture then. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. You have rebelled. Look again at verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Saying, look, you've not been doing what I've called you to do. You've been acting in disobedience. You've been living the way you want to live. You've been doing the things you want to do, going out and making the decisions you want to make. Sure, you show up in our culture, it would look like this. You show up on Sunday. Yes, you read the words of the songs. You follow along in the scripture. But then from Monday to Saturday, you live any way you want to live. And you're going through the motions and you're doing all the things, but it's not genuine, it's not heartfelt, it's not real. That's the translation of today's language. And then he calls them to this, says, return to me and I will return to you. This is the beauty of God, is that he's a God that never changes. He's not surprised by our rebellion. He's not surprised by our sinfulness. He's not surprised when we've gotten away from him. But dear friend, you need to hear this morning, is that God may be calling you back to himself. And here's the promise, return to me and I will return to you. Is that this is God taking the initiation. It's never us initiating and coming back to God, but rather it's God initiation inviting us back to himself. God is always inviting us to himself. He never changes. He never ceases to be God. And so I don't know what circumstances you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. But dear friend, I just wonder if you're at a stage in your life and going, man, maybe it's the changes in the circumstances or whatever the case may be, going, I'm not quite as close to the Lord as I once was. And there's an invitation this morning where God said, hey, come back to me. Some of you, maybe just starting college, just moved out of mom and dad's house. And so now you're starting to make some decisions on your own, who you're going to be, what priorities are important to you, what decisions, what are your friends going to be, all of those things. Can I just encourage you in this? Don't wake up 3 or 4 years from now and look back on a day like today and go, man, I wish I'd have made a different commitment. I wish I'd have stayed strong in my faith. I wish I would have stayed pursuing him and following after him. You don't have to have that testimony because the Lord never changes. You can stay clean and close to the Lord Jesus. But maybe that's not your story. Can I just... God loves you as much today as he ever has. Most well-known verse in the entire Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you with every ounce of His character and His person when He gave His own Son to die on the cross for you and for me. See, because I stood before Him as a guilty man, guilty of sin, guilty of all sorts of things. Listen, I know I get a chance to speak to a lot of you in this room. I've not always been a preacher. I made a lot of bad choices and did a lot of things that I'd be ashamed of if anybody in this room knew of. But I can tell you this, that God was gracious and He was kind. And I heard the message of the gospel that God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for my sins and for your sins. See, because sin separates us from God. There's a punishment and a payment for sin. And it's death. It's not just physical death, it's eternal death. But the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, here's the beauty of this, is that God knew that you cannot and you would not be able to earn salvation. There's no good works, there's no good things that you can do to earn the favor of God. Because then it's no longer grace and it's no longer mercy if you can earn it. But God saw us helpless without any hope or happiness, and He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for me and for you, so that He would pay the penalty of salvation. He would be buried in a grave in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later He would raise from the dead and He would ascend to the right hand of God to offer the free gift of salvation for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. And friend, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, can I encourage you in this, that He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. And every person in this room, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That one day, every one of us will stand before Almighty God and we'll give an account for everything we've ever done, every thought we've ever had. But dear friend, you can either stand there alone as a guilty man or a guilty woman, or you can stand there covered in the righteousness or perfection of His Son Jesus, having received the gift of salvation and have a saving relationship with Him. And even right now, you can have eternal life. Man, there's a lot of things that I've not yet experienced because of salvation or part of this life, because they are to come. When I got saved, there were some promises that are to come that I've not yet experienced. But there are some things when I got saved that I experience right now. Because to know and to be saved is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He promises joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He promises peace that'll surpass all understanding. Now listen, it's not promises that I'm not going to experience some hardship. That I'm not going to experience some difficult things. I'm not going to experience change. No, but rather it's a promise that I can have a saving relationship with the God of all creation, who says, I am the Lord and I do not change. And no matter how much change is in my life, I've got a friend that walks with me that never changes, that never ceases to be God, that never lacks any power or any ability, that never ceases to give peace and never ceases to give joy. Friend, you can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus that does not mean a perfect life, but it does mean a life with the presence of God. And some of you this morning may need to repent and place your faith and trust in Christ. And then some of you would say, Pastor Chris, I've made that decision. I've surrendered my heart and life to Him. I want you to hear what the children of Israel say in response to God in verse 7. He says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Listen to what he says. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But listen to the response. But you said, in what way shall we return? If you read the whole of the book, they are not asking for clarification. But rather, they're saying, what have we done wrong? And listen, it's not my job, nor would I have the ability, because Lord knows I got a whole lot of my own issues and things to work through. It's not my job, nor do I have the ability to walk around and go, man, you're dealing with, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Man, I've got my own stuff. But I can tell you this, it may be that the Holy Spirit as a believer, as a Christian, is dealing with your heart about some things in your life. And I know sometimes, especially as good church folks, we go, man, what do you mean return? What do you mean repent? I'm here every Sunday, I check all the boxes, I do all the things. And I hope, man, you're walking clean and close with the Lord, but I just wonder, there may, in a room this size, it's likely there's believers that for whatever reason you've gotten away from the Lord, and what happens is conviction comes and we begin to look around and go, man, Lord, I got this, I'm good. There may be some things in your life that aren't good that you need to return to Him. So the invitation is this morning. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Won't you repent and turn to Him? And as a believer, it may be that God's dealing with your heart and there's some things going on in your life that are not pleasing to Him and you know it, or you've just been given lip service. You've just been going through the motion. You go, man, I got to get real with my relationship. I got to get real with really wanting to get close to the Lord. And it may be today that you need to return to Him. There's this promise in the book of James chapter 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Maybe some things in your life you need to confess before Him and get right and ask Him to walk with you. And then finally, let me say this. It just may be that you're in a season of a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. I just want to remind you that He is the Lord and He does not change. God is not scared of your emotions. God is not scared of your weeping, your crying out to Him. He's a big God. He can handle it. But you can look to Him and you can trust Him, and He can be the solid rock of your foundation as you walk through a difficult season. And so I'm going to ask if you would just bow your head and close your eyes, and we have a time of response to Him. And you may say, Pastor Chris, I've never surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. I've never asked Him to be the boss and master of my life. I've never asked Him to be the Lord. And I heard that message today, and I want to ask Jesus to save me and be my boss today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just do just that. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, God is no respecter of persons. You can call out on Him for salvation, and the Bible says God will save you. And so how do you do that? You simply pray. Pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. You ask Him to be the boss and master of your life. You're willing to follow Him wherever He leads you. And you ask Him to save you. And if that's your desire this morning, I'm going to lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's attitude of your heart. And if your heart's desire is that God would save you, then you pray right where you're at with all of your heart and ask Him to forgive you and be the boss and to save you. And the Bible says God will save you. Not just some preacher, but the Word of God says He will save you. You may pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away all my sins. I ask You to be the boss of my life, that I'll go where You want me to go, I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll be what You want me to be. Jesus, I give my life to You and ask You to save me and help me to live for You. I pray in Jesus' name, with head bowed, eyes closed, and nobody else looking around. But if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that today and I meant it with all of my heart. I asked Jesus in that moment to save me and to be the boss of my life. And I'm not ashamed. Would you just look right up here at me? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. You just look right up here at my eyes. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that today and I meant it with all my heart. We're going to have a time of response, and it's just a continued time of prayer. I'm going to pray in just a moment. When I pray, it may be that you want to come and kneel up front here. Maybe you're just going through some things, or maybe you want to pray for a friend or a teammate or a classmate, or just pray for whatever season of life is going on with you. And when I pray, the invitation's open. You can slip out of your seat there and just come and kneel up front and pray here. You need somebody to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. It may be that just a moment ago you looked up and say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me and forgive me of my sins. You come and say, hey, I prayed that today. We believe it's the single most important decision you'll ever make. We want to be an encouragement to you. It's not a chance to embarrass you. It's not a chance to make you feel funny or called out, but it's just a chance for us to say, hey, we're excited about that, and we want to give you some instruction how you can take next steps in that relationship. So whatever it is, we're going to have a few moments of where you can just pray, and we're going to sing during this time too, and so it's an opportunity for you just to worship the Lord, but you remain in attitude of prayer. And whenever I finish praying, if you want to come forward and pray or want me to pray with you, or you made a decision to follow the Lord today, maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you've been saved, you've never been baptized. You can come. Say, Pastor Chris, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. And we can talk about when to get that schedule. So when I pray, you come. God in heaven, I thank you for today. Thank you for each person here. I pray, God, that, Lord, you would help us to be obedient to you and to your will and your plan. And God, I pray you give us boldness to follow you in this moment. And God, you be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you want to come and pray, you come. Need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Well, amen. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. Let me do this because I know sometimes it's hard to respond. You may be going through some things and need prayer, or maybe you do want to talk about baptism, or maybe you prayed to receive Christ today. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you've got your phone or if you have a pen, a piece of paper, I want to give you my cell phone number. And if you maybe you just need prayer, maybe you made a decision today to follow Christ, or maybe you want to talk about baptism. And so I'm going to give you my number, and I'd love for you to text me and or call me and be glad to talk with you about anything going on. And so my number is this. It's 847-527-5289. And if may not have a phone or a pen, but I know a lot of teammates in here, and so it's most likely, I'm sure your coach has my contact info, or a teammate does, and so love to talk with you more about that. There's other people around here, love to talk with you if you'd like to do that as well, okay? So again, thank you so much for being here and just the opportunity to worship with you today. We do have a potluck meal, or excuse me, not a potluck meal, that's next week, all right? I'm fired up about that, you can tell. So today we've got hamburgers and hot dogs, and so it's a free meal, and yes, it's Tech Sunday, but it's not just for Tech students. And so if you're a guest or our church family, we'd love for you to stay and be a part of that. I do want to ask, I know that the cheerleaders have a performance early this afternoon, and so we're going to give those cheerleaders a chance to get to the front of the line so they can eat and get over there. And so wherever y'all are, y'all might, here in a minute, you might slip up and get there to the front. So anyway, otherwise, just sort of help yourself. You'll excuse my pointing. You can go out these doors, or this door for that matter. On the other side of this wall, there's a hallway. Down that hallway, and then there will be a serving, some tables with hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, cookies, water, sweet tea, all that sort of stuff is there. So they'll give some directions, but most of the time probably will line up down this hallway. That way you can stay indoors and enjoy the cool AC, right? And then they'll point you. There's a big room where you can... a lot of tables and chairs set up there. And so again, thank you so much for being here. Those of you that are Tech students, we have the QR code, but there's some QR codes down the hallway and around in the fellowship hall. Again, if you'd scan that code, and we'd love to know that you're here worshiping with us. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here. If you're a guest that's maybe not a student, I'd love to meet you or whatever the case is. So I'll be around up front for just a little bit, and then you can come find me back there as well, okay? Last thing that we do is we leave. We have some of our men in place to help take up the offering. If you're a guest, we don't want this to feel any sort of pressure that you have to give by any means. It's just a way that we sort of continue our worship as we leave. It's an opportunity for us to give. It's not an obligation, okay? So please don't feel obligated by that by any means, okay? So we're grateful that you're here. Let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed, and I'll pray for the food. And so if you're a part of our church family, hope that you'll be back tonight at 5 o'clock, business meeting prayer, and then ice cream afterwards, okay? All right, let me lead us in a word of prayer. God, you're good, and we thank you for today. We thank you for how you love and care for us. And I pray, God, that you would bless this food and nourish our body, bless the hands that helped prepare it. God, thank you for every person here in worship, and we're grateful for them and their attendance. I pray your hand to be upon them. God, I pray for all of our students as they get ready, all of our high school, junior high, elementary, our Tech students. Lord, I pray your hand to be upon them. Put your hedge protection around the campuses and staff and student body. Lord, I pray for a great year for them. Lord, we pray as we give that, God, you would use that and multiply it for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for all things. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Watch the giants fall. Oh, we cannot survive when we praise you. We've got breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift you high.